2, and we're going to read the first 12 verses here in Deuteronomy 32. Got a message that the Lord's laid on our heart. We spent much time in prayer about this week, and we hope and pray to be a help and encouragement to you this morning. And again, we have several that are normally here, but as a precaution, they're home watching via live stream, and that's perfectly understandable. We certainly do miss them, but I'd rather them be safe than sorry, and so that's totally understandable. But we're going to read here in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves, their spot is not the spot of his children, they are perverse and crooked generation. Do ye this requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath brought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Verse 7, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, and thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in a waste howling wilderness, and led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Now notice especially verses 11 and 12. As the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there were no strange God with him. I want to preach a message this morning regarding this text that we read in verse 11, when God stirs up the nest. When God stirs up the nest, let us pray. Father, we are, again, thankful for what you've already done today. Thank you for the songs that we've sung. Thank you for the hour of Sunday school. Thank you for the time of prayer that you've allowed us to have. Thank you for the special that was sung this morning. Lord, it's encouraged our hearts. And Lord, now we ask if you'd help us for the next few moments to focus on the scripture at hand, the message that you've laid upon our heart. I pray that you would use it, Lord, for your glory. I pray that you would use it to be a help and encouragement to your people. Lord, I also pray for that one who's never come to a saving knowledge of you, that you convict them of their need for salvation, whether they're here in attendance or listening even via live stream. Father, we pray for your will and your way be done. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a pastor in a small church that became greatly annoyed by one of his elderly members who fell asleep during the sermons every Sunday. After one service, the pastor said to the young man's grandson, who always sat with his grandfather, said, "If you can keep your grandfather awake, I will pay you $1 a week. That worked for 2 weeks. The aged man was very alert and listened to the sermons attentively. On the third Sunday, however, there he was, back to his old tricks again, sound asleep in the pew. After the service, the pastor called the boy over and said, "I'm disappointed in you. Didn't I promise you $1 a week to keep your grandfather awake?" "Yes," replied the boy, "but Grandpa gives me $5 a week not to disturb him." We, a lot of times, are like Grandpa. Not that I'm talking about you falling asleep in the service, although it probably does happen from time to time, but we're like Grandpa in that we don't like to be disturbed. We don't like to be taken out of our comfort zone. We don't like to be in circumstances and places that are unfamiliar with us. So we, by nature as humans, are very, very much like the nature of the grandfather, even though I know it's a funny story. Our nature does not like to be disturbed. Really, this message this morning that we have said, when God stirs up the nest, could also be titled, "The place of disturbances in your life." What we're really dealing with today is disturbances. So you see, when we're talking about an eagle actually coming, we're going to talk a little bit about eagles today. What is being described here in what is known as the Song of Moses, and for the record, this is a tremendous chapter. I wish that we had time to deal with everything that's going on in this chapter. I mean, even if you read some of what we've come up to here, you know, it says in verse 7, for example, consider the years of many generations, ask thine father, and he will show thee, and the elders, and they will tell thee. You know, there's a scripture that's telling us there that, hey, some of our seniors, they've experienced life. They could tell you a lot of things about the goodness of God. And we know that that's true. They've experienced things and gone through things. Then we get down to verse number 9. I mean, we could really spend the whole message on that, where it says, the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. And what's interesting about that text is that when the Bible speaks about a portion, they were generally talking about a portion or an inheritance of land that was given to them that really meant their future and their livelihood. And it was something very precious to receive your portion or inheritance. Well, the Bible says that the Lord's portion is his people. Isn't that funny that God is saying, the Bible is saying that the most important thing to God is actually his people. That's a good thought. Then we get down here to verses 11 and 12, and we see, as the eagle stirreth up her nest. I read a little bit about eagles as we were preparing for this message that God laid upon our heart. And I come to find out a few things about eagles. Now, eagles are a very majestic bird. As we know, the bald eagle is a very special type of bird for the United States of America. I mean, that's our national bird. You cannot legally harm or destroy any kind of bird or eagle, bald eagle or eagle's egg or eagle's eaglets or anything of that nature. In fact, my understanding is that it's even illegal to own a feather from a bald eagle. Even if you're confused with being a turkey feather, if you had one, you could actually get in legal trouble because of it. So they're a protected bird, a very majestic bird. So I think it's something that we can all appreciate. But by nature, when eagles build their nest, have you noticed that on the outside, they're usually kind of thorny and pretty prickly when you see pictures of the eagle's nest? And my understanding is that eagles do this for a purpose. I mean, one is to help protect those from without the nest that would maybe try to crawl into the nest, right? But then also it serves another purpose on the inside, because if it's pokey and thorny on the outside, it's probably going to be pokey and thorny on the inside. So what the eagles do as they form these thorns and these branches and they twist them around and they form this nest, on the inside of the nest, as its original construction, it is a very uncomfortable place to be as it is. So what the mother eaglet does is she actually starts to take soft leaves and furs and feathers and even packs it down inside the nest to make it a comfortable place for her little eaglets once they're hatched. So again, think about the construction of this nest. On the outside, it's thorny and prickly, maybe to deter some kind of predator and think twice about coming up as they're trying to get into the nest. But on the inside, it's a very comfortable place. Now, something happens after the eaglets are hatched and born, and they start to grow up a little bit, that the mother eagle does in order to start to train and prepare her eaglets to be an eagle, which is what they were born to be, to soar high. So what that mother eagle does is actually goes into the nest and starts to stir things up, starts to scratch and to claw and pull some of that lining that she has pulled up, thus to start to make the nest a little bit more uncomfortable. And then as they continue to grow, she does a little bit more each time. A little bit more each time, just kind of stirs things up inside that nest. So what is the purpose of that? Well, what it does is it starts to make things uncomfortable inside the nest for that baby eaglet. You say, well, isn't that a bad thing to do as a mother, to make an uncomfortable place for those eaglets to live? Yeah, at first that would be the initial reaction. But when you start to understand the purpose of it, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment, you'll see that actually that mother eagle is being a great mother to those eaglets as she prepares them for life. What starts to happen is those eaglets, because it starts to become uncomfortable in that nest, they start to hop off on the edge. They start to look out and realize that there's more to life than just being comfortable inside this eagle's nest. Now, before we tell you more on that, let's read the text again. As the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. What is also fascinating as we talk about eagles, we see where it talks about the stirring up on the next. Did you see the next part that it says it fluttereth? You know what happens there? Essentially, now the first step is trying to make the little eaglets uncomfortable inside the nest so they can realize that there's more to the world and that eventually they have to learn to fly and learn to grow up on their own. Now they're on the edge of the nest, and what we have seen in people who have actually studied the nature and character of eagles, you notice it said fluttered over her young. What they actually do oftentimes is they'll fly over the nest, calling for that baby eaglet, encouraging that eaglet to jump out and fly. But you see, sometimes those little eaglets looking down, because if you know, and even it's confirmed in the Bible, eagles always build their nest somewhere up high. My nature would not want to be to get on the edge of something and jump off. That is goes against our very nature. So they start to get uncomfortable in the nest, understand the process that's going on, getting up on the edge, and now the mother eaglet is flying around, spreading her wings and calling for that baby eaglet, saying, "Why don't you come on out? Why don't you stretch your wings a little bit? Why don't you just start to flap and start to learn that, hey, you're an eagle. It's time to learn how to fly." But sometimes those eaglets are stubborn. "I'm not going to jump." And they have actually seen mother eagles come down and actually smack the nest, hit the nest, as to jar their baby eaglet out of that nest on purpose, to then force that baby eaglet to start flapping its wings. Are you with me? Now, let me say something else before we go any further. We will find here in the Word of God, here in just a moment, that there is times where God has to come and stir up the nest. There is times in your life where God has to come by and make you uncomfortable. There are times in your life where God has to take a little bit of that comfort and that just place that you've been where everything has been at peace. And not that God don't want you to have peace, stay with me. But God has to make you uncomfortable to get you out of your comfort zone, to get you to jump up and soar to higher heights in your life. Because ultimately, and spiritually speaking, God made you as a Christian, as a child of God, to soar on high, because that's the nature of eagles. So there's times where God has to come and stir things up in your life and stir things up in your nest where you're comfortable to get you to come out and realize, you know what, there's more to just being comfortable in life. And then occasionally God will come down and smack that nest and stir up that nest as to force you to jump out and do what it is that God's wanting you to do. Let's get back to what we're studying this morning. The eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth her wings, spreadeth about abroad her wings, and taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Now, there's a couple of things that we start to see as we further study how eagles learn to fly. When the mother eagle comes by and smacks that nest and essentially knocks her little eaglets that are on the edge there, and they start to fall, from the observations that they have seen, oftentimes that little eaglet will start to flap and they'll start to go and they'll do their best to try, and you would think that that little eaglet's heading straight towards the ground, towards destruction. But at the last minute, every single time, they see that mother eagle come right underneath that baby eaglet and let it fall on her wings, let it fall on her shoulders, and then she takes that little baby eaglet and takes it up high again, lets that little eaglet gain his composure again, and then lets him fall off again. That is the process in how they teach little eaglets how to fly. Now, what's interesting is that they have never observed an eaglet fall into the ground when the mother eagle has pushed it out of its nest. They have never witnessed one actually hit the ground. They have seen some hit the ground. Now, pay attention. When mother eaglet wasn't around, and that little eaglet started to jump out on its own. they have seen some of those hit the ground. That is common to happen. And even then, when they do that, they stay on the ground, and the mother eagle still feeds it till it's ready to nurture and be out on its own. Right? It's a reminder that oftentimes when we step out without the presence of God, oftentimes we do end up in destruction, but yet God is still gracious enough to nurture us and to feed us even when we put ourselves in that situation. But sometimes God has to kick us up and stir us up and push us out. And there's a reminder here from the scriptures that says He beareth us on eagle's wings, that He's not going to let us fall into utter destruction. That God is not trying to destroy us, He's actually trying to help us. He's not trying to let us fall and perish, He's actually trying to make us stronger. So here's what we're learning when we study our text. I want to give you three quick observations when God stirs up the nest, or when you're living in the place of disturbance, because I'm confident today that there's a lot of people here in this very room, or even listening via live stream, that they have been disturbed. There's some things happening in their life right now, in your life right now, that has bothered you. You're disturbed by it. You're struggling with it. You're in a very uncomfortable place. Who can say that, yeah, Pastor, that's me, amen. I can see where maybe God is stirring some things up in my life. Let me give you a couple quick thoughts. First of all, we'll see, as we see in our text here, and we see throughout the Word of God, I believe that number one, disturbances are of God. Disturbances are of God. When we're looking at what we're talking about today, we see that this is something that God ordained. And as Moses was writing what's called this Song of Moses, keep in mind that this is right in the middle of the Pentateuch, which Moses wrote. So this is authored by Moses himself. And he is illustrating his observation of what he knows about eagles, illustrating God being the mother eagle. So we see that disturbances, number one, are of God. If you look in the Bible, you'll see very many examples where we can find that disturbances are of God. First of all, let's look at Nehemiah himself. If you look in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 2. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 2, you'll see the Bible says, "Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. You see, here Nehemiah was at the place of distress or place of disturbance. He was disturbed by what he had just learned. If you read in Nehemiah chapter 1, you'll hear that Nehemiah just received a report from one of his brethren telling him about the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction, even more importantly, of the people. The walls were desolate. The people were in desolation. Everything was falling apart back in his home country. When the walls were broken down, that was a bad picture and a bad sign for his city. Walls don't mean as much today, although politically, I don't want to get into that argument. Maybe they should. But nevertheless, it meant the likelihood and survival of a city in that time and that day, because walls represented the security of that city. And if walls were torn down, that means that the enemy had come in and broken it down, and they have easy access to prey on the people within that city. Nehemiah in chapter 1 of the book has just received the report that everything's broken down, everything's falling apart, and even worse, the people are in desolation. Nehemiah was disturbed by what he heard. And he was disturbed so much. Now, when you stood before kings, you always had to be in a positive demeanor. When you stood before kings, you had to have the right attitude, because a wrong word or a wrong look could get you killed. A wrong attitude could get you killed. You didn't act that way. You didn't come in and stand before the presence of the king like sometimes we do when we come into church. Go ahead, try to help me today, preacher. I dare you. That's just to make you smile a little bit. You didn't act that way before kings, because it could mean your life. The Bible says that Nehemiah was afraid. Why? Because the king noticed something was wrong. Nehemiah was disturbed, and as we read in that text in Nehemiah 2:2, let's go back and look at it again. That why he asks, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? He's saying, Nehemiah, you're not sick. What's wrong with you? You must be heart sick. So you see, friend, Nehemiah was disturbed by something, and that something was that God allowed him to hear a report about his countrymen and his family back in Jerusalem, and it bothered Nehemiah, disturbed him. Have you ever got a report or a phone call or news about something and it disturbed you? It bothered you. It shook up your world. It rattled your cages. So we see that here is an example from the Bible that disturbances are of God. God allows these disturbances to happen in your life to get you uncomfortable. And now Nehemiah is heartsick, literally. He's concerned. He's worried. And God used that to actually develop a burden. And the ultimate goal was to fulfill God's purpose in restoring the kingdom of Jerusalem. More importantly, the people. God used a disturbance to put a burden in Nehemiah's heart. I want to give you an example of a family that was stirred up. We see an example where God used to disturb Nehemiah's life. And for the record, before I move on, he was living a comfortable life. It was an honor and a position of high standing to be a cupbearer to the king. Boy, you were really somebody if you served the king personally. He could have easily said, you know what? I got a pretty good thing going on here. I've got a comfortable life going on here. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not willing to leave the nest, if you will. And oftentimes, that's the problem that we have. We become comfortable. We say, well, I really got a good thing going here. I'm comfortable here. And we're not willing to take that step of faith to step out and fly and soar higher as God wants you to because we're too comfortable. We see in the life of Abraham. Go to Genesis 12:1. Genesis 12:1. So we see an example where Nehemiah was disturbed and bothered, but here's an example where God really stirred up a family, I believe. If you look in Nehemiah or Genesis 12:1, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's hand unto a land that I will show thee. Now, if you've been able to be here on Wednesday night, you'll see for the last few weeks that this has been the theme verse of what we've been studying on Wednesday nights. It's been a long journey, but now the journey's begun. What we see here is God stirring up not just Abraham, but Abraham's family. He literally came to Abraham. He said, Abraham, I want you to get up. I want you to take your family, and I want you to go a place, and I'll let you know later on where exactly it's going to be. But what I want, Abraham, is for you to just to go. Now, would that stir up a family? Would that make things a little bit uncomfortable where God says, I want you to get up, pack up your family and go, and let me worry about the rest? Because Abraham, I've got higher places for you to fly. Are you with me? So we see an example in the Word of God where God disturbed Nehemiah so much that the king could tell that he was heartsick and worried. We see an example here where God stirred up Abraham's family. And as you know, the story goes, they had some bumps in the road. It doesn't mean that just because God called you to do it, that everything's going to be smooth and that everything's going to be easy. In fact, the Bible tells us, yea, all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. But yet, look at how God blessed through the life of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. We've been talking about a lot of the ups and downs on Wednesday nights along the journey that God has called us to be on. But you see, the end result is that God truly blessed Abraham because of what? One key word, his willingness to obey. It's called obedience. He was willing to step out on faith and trust God with what God had stirred him up to do. So we see, first of all, this morning, as we're talking about when God stirs up your nest, the number one disturbances are of God. Second of all, today, I want you to notice that disturbances always serve a purpose. Not only are disturbances of God, but disturbances also serve a purpose. Now, as we look again in verse number 11, as the eagle, or as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreading abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did. Now, it's important to know that when God does send these disturbances in our lives, that He has a purpose behind it. He doesn't just stir things up just to make you in limbo, just to bring drama in your life with no resolution and no direction. That's not how God operates. I say that because I know people who seem to always stir things up, but it's because they enjoy drama and they seem to enjoy trouble around them all the time. You ever know, they're just always in something, always causing some kind of problem. And oftentimes it's just to get an uproar out of people. You've seen that before? That's not God. That's not how God operates. When God places disturbances in your life, it's because it's for a purpose. Now, we go back to thinking about this little baby eaglet. That baby eagle would rather, by nature, in itself, before it learns to fly, would rather just stay right there in that little nest. I mean, think about it for just a moment. That eagle is comfortable. Got a nice padded little nest inside there. That eagle is safe. I mean, it's got a thorny nest. It's hard for predators to get to it. And even if they do, they have a hard time getting a grip because of the design and the nature and the location of that nest. Plus, if worse comes to worse, all that little eagle has to do is call out to mom. And you better believe mom's going to be there with some talons to protect that baby eaglet, right? You want to see somebody mad, you mess with a mother's child. And you will see some talons come out that you didn't know they had. Am I right, guys? Yeah. Amen. That little eaglet is comfortable. I mean, it's got soft feathers and soft fur. I mean, boy, it's just kicking back. It's in a safe place. It feels secure. And thirdly, I mean, it gets its meals delivered every single day. I mean, it's like it had DoorDash every single meal. I mean, right? I mean, Mama Eagle delivers it literally right to its mouth. I mean, who wouldn't want to live that life? You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to pay no bills. You're just comfortable. I mean, your food is brought to you. I mean, life couldn't get any better. Understand that that would be what an eagle desires, is just to stay comfortable. God always has better intentions for you. So number one on the purposes, or that disturbances always have a purpose, is it's important to understand that God is trying to get you to surrender your will. See, even when that eagle's on the edge of the nest, it doesn't want to jump. And sometimes that mother eagle has to come and smack that nest and say, you're going anyway. Understand when these disturbances come in your life, do you realize, do you understand how critical it is that God is trying to get you to surrender your will and submit to His will? In other words, God is often using this to literally break your will and surrender to His. Lord, this isn't what I wanted. This isn't what I like. I'm not. God is trying to get you to surrender your will and submit to God's will. That's one of the purposes on why God causes disturbances in your life. The second reason, I believe, when we're talking about the purpose of disturbances, is to teach you how to fly. If you're always comfortable, if things are always just going as smooth as we would prefer them to be, you will never learn to fly and to soar to higher places in your life. You know what I've come to find out, church, if I'm being completely honest with you, is that we are capable of enduring more than we ever thought that we could endure. We are capable of handling more than we ever thought that we could handle by the grace of God, with the help of God in our lives. Now, when we attempt it on our own and we turn to worldly solutions and worldly answers and get caught up in the things that the world has for you, you don't make it, spiritually speaking. And oftentimes it leads to destruction in people's lives. But when you put that faith and trust in God, you'll see and you'll find out that God is using it actually to make you stronger. The Apostle Paul said, "For when I am weak, then I am made strong." We talked a little bit about that Wednesday night. So when we're talking about the purpose of disturbances, number one is because God is trying to get you to surrender your will and submit to His. And second of all is that He can teach you how to fly. In other words, make you stronger spiritually speaking. Because when you are stronger spiritually speaking, you're able to get to new levels in your life. You grow spiritually. You mature spiritually in the Lord. And now all of a sudden, not only have you gotten stronger and you've gone to new levels in your life, now it's starting to rub off on those around you. Now you're starting to influence other people around you and say, you know what? I don't know what's going on with him or her, but God seems to be doing something special in their life. God seems to have his hand upon their life. I think I want what they got. So you see, church, number one, disturbances are of God, but number two, disturbances always serve a purpose. The last thought I want to give you regarding the disturbances, we mentioned disturbances are of God, disturbances serve a purpose, but thirdly, disturbances bring you closer to God. Disturbances bring you closer to God. Now, folks, I didn't mention that it necessarily brings you closer to people, although sometimes that does happen. But disturbances, when they honor the Lord and you give them to God, always bring you closer to the Lord. So first of all, when you think about, again, our little eagle, there he is. He doesn't want to jump. He'd rather stay in his little comfortable nest. But now he's been knocked out of the nest. Do you know what that eagle has no choice but to do? It has to call out to Mama Eagle. Say, "Mama Eagle, I can't do this. And I need you." Can you imagine, as that little baby eaglet is being tossed out of the nest for the first time, what's going through its little mind? If Mama Eagle don't come, I'm going to perish. If Mama Eagle don't save me, there's no other way. Oh, Mother Eagle, Mama Eagle, come and save me. Don't you realize, church, that's exactly where God wants you to be? You get to the place in your life where you realize, I cannot survive except for God. I cannot do this except for the Lord. And we literally get to the place in our life where we call out to the Lord. And I wonder, well, maybe that's why the book of Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3 says, "Call unto me and I will answer." I wonder why Romans 10:13 says, "Call they, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, when God stirs you up and God pushes you out of the nest and God makes you uncomfortable, He's trying to get you to come to the place in your life where you realize, I'm nothing without God, and I won't survive without God, and I can't do nothing without God, and I won't ever soar to higher heights without God. I won't learn to fly without the Lord. Lord, I need you. I don't need a meal right now. I don't need a comfortable home right now. I don't be surrounded by friends and family, because at this moment and this time, all I need to survive is God. God wants you to be, friend, in a place of total dependence upon God. And I'm not saying that your family doesn't matter, and I'm not saying your friends don't matter. I'm saying that God is trying to teach you to depend on Him and Him alone, because He's the one that will never let you down. He's the one that you can depend on. He's the one that, right when you think everything's about to fall apart, He swoops in at the last minute and catches you and raises you back up. That's what God's trying to do with your life, friend. That's what God's trying to teach us, is to the place of total dependence on Him. As you see in our scripture, church, as the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth her young over, and spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Oh, Mama Eagle's not going to let that little baby eagle fall to destruction. She's trying to teach that baby a lesson. She's trying to teach that baby how to fly. She's trying to teach that baby how to be dependent and not depend on other eagles to supply for it. So we see, as we're learning about this place, the fact that disturbances bring you closer to God. First of all, it's a place of dependence on God. And second of all, as they bring you closer to God, it's actually a place of happiness. Now, you remember we started off by saying, what a mean mother that would start to pull those feathers back and start to pull that fur back and let some of those thorns be exposed to that baby eagle. Well, what kind of mother is that? It's because she's actually trying to let that little baby eagle ultimately be happier in life. So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, because eagles, again, because of the way God designed them, God designed them to fly and soar above the other birds. I remember hearing a story about this bald eagle. And somebody, because frankly, there's always just people who do things that don't make any sense, had shot this eagle. They had found it and it had been shot. And this farmer found it in his barnyard. And so the farmer, of course, caring for eagles, did everything that he could to try to nurture and to help this eagle heal its wound. And in the meantime, because he knew that eagle wasn't ready to fly, he put a little lock on its foot so it couldn't take off and fly until it was truly ready. Here he nurtured that eagle and cared for that eagle. And then eventually, as that eagle started to gain some of its strength back, it would see other eagles up in the sky. And those other eagles would call to it and say, hey, come on up here and fly high. This is where you belong. And that eagle would start to flap its wings and it would start to go and it would start to gain momentum and take up off the ground. But of course, that chain and that would keep it to the ground and it wasn't able to fly. And that eagle on the ground would just call in sadness, I want to be up there. That's where I belong. I'm an eagle. I should be flying high. I don't belong in a barnyard. This is not my nature. I'm not supposed to be in here just getting fed and getting nurtured and getting all this TLC done here. I'm supposed to be up there flying. And I'm not happy with what's going on here. But eventually, as that eagle got stronger and the farmer felt comfortable that it was ready to fly, he released that chain. And guess what happened the next time? An old eagle came by and called again and said, come on up here, you belong with us. Calling from the sky, that eagle started to fly, flap its wings, and he could hear that eagle as if singing, saying, this is my happy place. Because you see, I'm an eagle, and I belong up in the sky. You see, friend, ultimately we think that God's just trying to make things hard on us. No, don't you realize that ultimately the happiest place in your life is in the center of God's will to do what it is exactly He created you and designed you to do, just like He created and designed an eagle to fly up high in the sky. Friend, you are not going to truly be happy in your life until you surrender your will and submit to God's will and be right in the center of where God wants you to be as He designed you to be. Let me give this verse and we're through. In fact, I'll ask my wife or son, whoever's coming to the piano, to come. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. I love this verse, especially in light of what we've studied. The Bible says, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. keep in mind that the book of Exodus is the book of deliverance. And what God was reminding his people was saying, hey, you saw what I did to the Egyptians. Remember how I said sometimes those predators try to come up in that nest, but they have a hard time because of the design of the nest and the location of the nest. And then, of course, they're not going to get past Mama Eagle. Mama Eagle ain't going to let nothing happen to their little eaglets. And God said, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians. Do you remember when they were there encamped by the sea? And boy, here come the Pharaoh and his Egyptians right after them. Boy, there's mountains on each side and then a sea before them. Everything looks like it was just about to be over. They looked like they were about to be destroyed. And God came through and he parted the Red Sea and he made a way out for his people at the last minute. Kind of reminds me of that eagle fallen again. And at the last minute, God swooping down saying, you know what, I got you. I got this taken care of. Hey, I have this under control. Just hop on my wings. Just hop on my back. And then even the Bible says, even as God's speaking, even God illustrates it. How I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you into myself. In other words, not only did I save you, but I used it to bring you closer to me. And ultimately, that's what God is doing for us, church. And that's why when you look at these disturbances, they're not because God is just trying to make things hard. It's because God is trying to bring you to a happy place. God is trying to bring you in the center of His will. God is ultimately trying to bring you closer to Him. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe we need to have a different perspective in our own lives on the disturbances that are happening. God has done some things and made you uncomfortable. God has done some things in your life and disturbed the nest, if you will. Just remember that God's trying to take you to new levels that you've never been to before. God's trying to get you to surrender your will and submit to His. God's trying to make you uncomfortable and live in total dependence upon God. I firmly believe, friend, the longer I live, the more we ought to wake up each day and say, Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I don't have it, and I need you. But oftentimes we learn a little scripture and we get overconfident. Oftentimes we get a little money in our bank account and we think I'm pretty secure. Friend, your security is not in your job. Your security is not in your bank account. Your security is certainly not in your knowledge. I got my home paid off. Things are going pretty good. Friend, those things can be taken away in just a moment. That is not your true security. Your true security and dependence ought to be upon a holy God. And no matter what you have or don't have, God is teaching you to depend totally on Him. Maybe we ought to rethink these disturbances in our lives. Maybe we ought to rethink the things that are happening in our lives, what God is trying to do. Instead of saying, boy, woe is me. Things are so hard. Things are so bad. God's trying to do something, friend. It's because He loves you. Because He knows that you can do better. Because He has a greater plan and purpose for your life. Maybe you're here today, friend. Nobody looking around. Say, Pastor, I've seen some disturbances in my life. God has stirred up the nest. And maybe now I need to rethink what God is trying to do. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I've had some disturbances in my life. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put them down. Thank you, I see that hand. Thank you, I see that hand. God has disturbed some things. I need to rethink what it is the Lord's trying to teach me and do for me. Would you pray for me? I want to learn to be totally dependent on God. Pastor, pray for me. Anybody else? Well, we pray. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put them down. Thank you, I see that hand. You may put it down. Maybe there's one here today, say, Pastor, if I was to die today, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Anybody say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Anybody, before we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for this church and, Lord, the good people that are a part of this church and ministry. And, Lord, I know that there's no one here today that hasn't had disturbances in their life, that haven't been pushed out of their comfort zone. God, I know through it all you have a plan and you have a purpose. Lord, several lifted their hands and said that they have had some disturbances in their life, and their desire is to get to the place of total dependence upon you. Father, would you help them? Lord, would you touch them? God, whatever that disturbance is, whatever that need is, I pray that you'd meet it according to your will. Lord, help them to have faith and trust in you, that you have it under control. Lord, that you're not going to utterly let them be destroyed. Lord, that you'll bear us on eagle's wings. Lord, I pray that you'd help each and every one. Lord, you know the desire of their heart, especially those that lifted their hands. Touch them in a special way. Father, we ask you to continue to be with our church. We pray for those not able to be here due to sickness, due to being out of town, due to other reasons, precautions, whatever the case may be. Lord, we miss them. But we ask you to touch them in a special way. Lord, I pray that you be with us as we look forward to tonight. Be with us as we go home, go our separate ways. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, church, the main thought, really, when God stirs up the nest was on the place of disturbance. Tonight, we're going to talk about the place of distress. Place of distress. So if you can make it back tonight, be part of the service, we want to encourage you to do that. I wouldn't want to miss out, not because I'm preaching, but because of the scriptures. Have a lot to reveal to us, all right? God bless you, church. We love you. I'm going to ask Connor to come to the piano before we're just officially dismissed. And my wife has a form again. Even if we have your phone number, please just double check. And if we can, put it all in there, especially addresses and things of that nature, okay? God bless you, church. You are dismissed.